It's Monday of the second week of Lent. Welcome to today's Lentcast. This is Father John Zulsdorf. Our Roman station today is San Clemente, St. Clement's. This church sits on top of various foundations of other churches going all the way down to a street of ancient Rome. There are archaeological digs for two stories beneath the present building, and you can visit them. At the lowest level, you are literally on the streets of ancient Rome, and there is even a pagan shrine to Mithras there, a rival cult to the new Christian religion. This church seems to have been founded on a house church, perhaps even that of Clement, who may have been the Clement who was a successor of Peter and who wrote a letter to the Corinthians around the year 96. This area of Rome had been cleared by the fire that Nero set in 64 AD so that he could build his great Domus Aurea, or Golden House. Nero died in 68 and the project stopped, but the Flavian Emperor Vespasian chose the area for the building of a great new amphitheater and gladiatorial barracks, a complex known as the Colosseum, the Flavian Amphitheater. The church was destroyed when the Normans sacked Rome in 1084, and you see now a third construction. You enter the church through a courtyard, much like that which ancient Christians would have seen. The church today retains its beautiful inlaid Cosmatesque floor. The main event, however, are the incredible mosaics in the apse, which include the oldest depiction in Rome of the suffering Christ. The inscription states that there is a piece of the true cross contained there. From The Priest's Prayer Book, a handbook to the breviary by Christopher J. Wilmot. We are primarily created to give glory to God. This is a logical conclusion from which there is no getting away if we believe in God. It is what we must always bear in mind in all our service of God and in our every endeavor to advance in virtue and become perfect. Spirituality is being conducted along wrong lines when this truth is lost sight of. There are those who are bent upon sanctifying themselves not directly, or even indirectly perhaps, for God's sake so much as for their own satisfaction. They may pray long and earnestly, they may perform their various duties with all the care and exactitude of which they are capable, they may even impose severe mortifications upon themselves, and, in fine, take all available means, as they think, to arrive at perfection. But they prove that they are not doing all this out of the motive that should dominate and guide them in all their endeavors, that they are not working purely for the glory of God, if when failing to acquit themselves as they would like to have done, they give way to depression and sadness. This is only to betray the fact that it is for themselves that they have been striving and not primarily for God. Their self-love has been wounded. And then, sometimes, in consequence, they so lose heart as to give up altogether the struggle to succeed. It is all important, then, that in all our spiritual endeavors we should have a right intention. If we had this right intention of seeking principally the glory to God, we would not be depressed at our failures. We would not be sorry because we had lost something that we might have gained for ourselves, but we would be sorry that God had not gained something to which he was entitled and for which he had created us. So far from our failures casting us down, they should only serve as a means for recognizing more clearly our own natural weakness and helplessness, and for establishing that true humility that becomes ever more convinced of the truth of Christ's words, "Without me, you can do nothing." Thank you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing, with another Lentcast. In the meantime, please pray for me as I will for you.